Okay, stand by, everybody. And good evening. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. And of course, podcasting on your smart speakers. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Thank you, Charlene. And also Matt Finkel is the engineer for this current episode. Thank you, Matt. And Annie, who is assisting. Tonight, we are talking about a program called Partners in Policymaking. And my name is Sam. If I didn't say that already, I'm the host of this show. Thank you again for joining in. If you'd like to be on the email list, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. So we have a whole slew of people to introduce tonight. I'm going to start with in Rosemont, Sammy Cuautle-Tuiego. Good evening, Sammy.
Good evening. Hi, everybody.
And in St. Paul, we have Brittany Wilson. Good evening, Brittany.
Good evening.
And in Robbinsdale, we have Michelle Coulon. Good evening, Michelle.
Good evening.
And in Austin, Minnesota, we have Kelly Schmidt. Good evening, Kelly.
Good evening.
And last but certainly not least, we have Sherry Wallace. Sherry is from the Wallace Group, and she's also public relations and marketing for Partners in Policymaking. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Sam. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your guys' lives. Not that you're all running all over the place now, but but thank you very much for being available to be on the show. I want to start out by having you, Sherry, just talk a little bit about Partners in Policymaking is, when it got its start, and who started it.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you for having me talk about one of my favorite topics, which is partners in policymaking, mainly because the guests here will prove to everyone what an incredible experience this is. It's a training that started in 1987, and so it's getting to be middle-aged, about 34 years, in which parents who are raising children with disabilities and also individuals that are adults with disabilities come together, about 30 to 40 people we select from all over the state, to just really focus on being a stronger advocate and more, and really having that self-confidence to be an advocate for yourself if you have a disability, or for all people with disabilities, and especially for your children with disabilities. The program starts every September, goes to May, except for in a COVID year, it goes till June. and we have had to utilize Zoom for some training, which has been wonderful and a great experience, but it doesn't cost a thing. But it takes a lot of your hard-earned thought and experience put together with some time to really think about how you become a better advocate. So again, it was started by Colleen Wick in about 34 years ago when she said, we have got to teach these mothers who are raising children with disabilities to be better advocates for their children. And the classes have been going on ever since. And she has attended every one of those classes and has made it possible for Partners in Policymaking to be shown or to be put on around the world. She even got to Australia and and Denmark and England to really show people how to put on these partners in policymaking. But it changes people's lives. And you'll hear from some of the folks who have had just an incredible 9 months of experience.
So does every state have some kind of partners in policymaking program?
I could say about 10 years ago, it was in every state, and except for one. I think Vermont was a holdout for whatever reason, but it really made it's a huge investment. You bring in experts, but I think it has really caused Minnesota especially to become a leader in parents being strong advocates for their children. So at one point, it was in every state. And you can put partners in policymaking in Google, you'll see state by state by state where it's still running strong.
Excellent. All right, ladies. So I can say that because there's all ladies here. I only have two rules for the show. No swearing, number one. But number two, when you, there have been some intense shows, trust me on this one. And number two, when you do talk and answer the question, please feel free to identify yourself. For example, my name is Michelle, or I am Michelle speaking or something like that. So people can kind of get to know your voices, especially in the first 15 minutes or so. All right. Thank you. So I'd like you each to go ahead again and introduce yourselves and also tell me, like, what made you decide to apply for this program and how you found out about it. Sammy, you can start.
I was going to say, so hi, I'm Sammy Cuautla-Pliego. And so, yeah, I'm from Rosemont. The reason why I applied, actually, I didn't know about the program. A good friend of mine knew about it. And so she knew about my son's disabilities, but she also knows about the work that I do within the educational system. And so she was telling me about how she found out about partners and the need of the Latino representation within the community with disabilities and advocating for our children and our Black, Indigenous, and people of color as well, since they serve the community. So that's one of the main reasons why I decided to join partners. And I'm telling you, it has been a blessing.
Excellent. How about Brittany? Why don't you take it next?
Awesome. So my name is Brittany. I live in St. Paul. I really think it was just fate because I had really been doing a lot of soul searching and figuring out what I wanted to do and what my passions were. And I decided that I wanted to do some disability activism since I've been disabled my whole life. And so I was talking to a friend's mom, and she had taken partners years ago and told me about it. I looked it up as we were talking, and the application was due 4 days from then. And I just knew that this was exactly what I needed and what I was looking for.
Michelle?
Hi, I'm Michelle Kulan, and I am a mother of four beautiful children. My two youngest are adopted through foster care, and they have significant disabilities. All that are not physical, and so it's hard to point out for a lot of people. And so I too had friends who had gone through the program and just kept encouraging me and saying this would be awesome for you, you'd do a great job. I hesitated, but yet I was like, you know what, I'll apply. If I get in, I get in. And the reason I applied was so that I could learn how to be a better advocate for my kids in school and in the community. And I wanted to learn more about how to help others serve and learn more about the services that they could get for their children, to all their families, my heart really is passionate about other families learning about the resources that our state provides.
Kelly?
Hi, I'm Kelly Schmidt. I applied for Partners in Policymaking to better educate myself on the laws and policies around individuals with disabilities. My daughter was diagnosed and really struggling, and I was really struggling as a parent to understand what she was going through and unable to help her find balance anywhere, school, home. And I was friends with a previous Partners person, and she kept on telling me to apply. So I did, and here I am.
So if I had to ask you guys, what significant learning or new awareness have you experienced in this class? What would you tell me? And I'm going to, just to keep you guys awake, I want to start reverse order. So we'll start with Kelly.
All right. Honestly, I think I've learned so much from so many different representatives that, but what helped me the most was understanding that there are laws and policies in place for individuals. I just went out with what our daughters are. I constantly just went off of what our daughter's school was telling us to do and how they were going to handle things. And I was never aware that she had the right to ask for IEP meetings and learning how to speak the correct words needed to be understood helped a lot. So Partners taught me the right terminology and kind of gave me the support I needed to go in and not always be a mess when I asked for things, because I was very unorganized. Also hearing personal testimony from individuals that work in politics, education, law, social services, all saying that they too had to fight to be heard and to see change. It really made me feel like I wasn't alone anymore, to see people that are so high. Like, you would think you see a doctor and they're like one of the doctors, he actually left his job to become an advocate. So that was pretty powerful to me, that, you know, we all kind of have to fight to be heard. And every single person that came in to represent where they are, they just kind of give us fuel and they're our support forever. I mean, so that's kind of what I experienced.
Michelle?
Hi, I'm Michelle, and I also, with Kelly, we are given so much information, so much great information. But probably the thing that really helped me was the person-centered thinking. As a parent, I really needed this so I could see my children in a different lens. Person-centered thinking looks more at what the person's gifts are and talents are than what they can do, not what they can't do. And for me, it was starting to ask more questions of them and having them participate in more of their mid choice assessments, and having them participate in answering the questions that we are, as parents, asked every year when we have to reevaluate. And that was so empowering, not just for me, but for them and for me. Me and the worker both teared up listening to my children in their own words talk about their gifts and talents. And that was just awesome. And I got a lot of great feedback from those who have disabilities and how listening to how they wished their parents had given them more of a voice and had pushed them and had helped them see what they were good at, instead of, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. So, you know, kind of poo-pooing everything. So now I just like to ask and see for themselves what they want in their lives and in this coming year and as they get older. And I'm always so amazed at their responses. It's just a gift. So out of all of the, you know, IEP and laws and how we can make such great changes, for me personally, it was just the simple fact of one of the first lessons of person-centered thinking and looking at people with disabilities in a whole new world, in a whole new lens.
Brittany?
So there's, like everyone, you know, has said, just a lot of information, a lot of great information and a lot of great speakers. One of the most powerful things for me was actually the first session. And in the first session, we learned about disability history. And when you hear about the way that disabled people have been treated for centuries and centuries and centuries, it really was kind of devastating, and it put a lot of into perspective for me, and really helped fuel my fire to be an advocate for my community. Also, you know, hearing parents' stories as someone who, you know, works full time, I live on my own. I've, you know, always kind of been an advocate for myself in ways, but I never really understood necessarily the power in that. So hearing other parents' stories and being able to share mine as well, I think you really get a sense of connection. And so that has also been really powerful for me. And then also too, just echoing on what Kelly said, when you learn the laws, when you learn the process to change them, it really helps guide your path. And also just realizing and recognizing that when we see something going on in the law that isn't right, that's hurting us, it really is our civic duty to help make that change. And so that was also really powerful for me too.
Sammy?
Sammy, and it's so true what they have said. It's absolutely learning the policies, the amount of information that we are provided with. And I think, I definitely believe that Partners is a very robust program that fills you with intense information that you're craving every time when your class is coming up, because you want to know what's coming ahead and what else are you going to learn, because there's so much more that fulfills you that you're like, it leaves you. I left every single class wanting more. And what else is out there that I want to learn about? And the policies, just like they were saying, in learning those particular policies, that within an IEP, they will not be given to you necessarily. And you even are taught to how to ask and it's specifically what are you looking for. And I'm telling you, so I do equity work, and I also advocate for the Latino community, for students and parents. And so that helps me. That's an additional layer that our parents, that they don't speak the language. So there are even further behind in receiving information and providing services to them because of the lack of the communication. So being that bridge, partner has to help me advocate, not just for my son, but also for the community that I proudly represent. And there's so much more that I wish I could retain, that I will remember to be able to advocate for my children. And just one more, just one little example here. Just recently, about 2 weeks ago, my son is finishing elementary, going into middle school. And so they were wrapping up, you know, his IEP, so he will be ready for middle school. And they're telling me that, oh, he is ready on this because he met the expectations. And I keep saying, no, he did not. And three of the staff members, they keep telling me through also a Zoom meeting that they believe that's what it is. And they made me feel like I was not understanding. So, you know, this is what I learned in Partners. So I said, I understand your message. What you are not understanding is that I don't agree with your result. And this is what I want. And so they went on to tell me, well, the state guidelines, and I said, wait, the state guidelines also say that I have the right to pursue an additional evaluation because I don't agree with what you're telling me right now. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to talk to the supervisor, and I want to get a result. And it was an email the following day saying, you know what? We're going to continue with the services. He's going to receive the services. And that's all it takes to learn how to navigate the system that we live on. But it's not given to us if we don't push. And because of not having that additional knowledge, it holds you back, but at the end, it holds your child back from succeeding at the end. And that's what we want. We want our children to succeed.
Ladies, I'm wondering, what does, you know, the word partners mean to you? What did you learn that it meant to you by taking this course? I guess, Michelle, you want to start first?
Sure. I'm Michelle, and I feel like partners really feels what it says. We're creating partnerships in this class to make a difference in our community together, in our schools, in our government. We work as a team to help get more done. We all have our different strengths and weaknesses, and in the class, we have people of all cultures and all races and different abilities. And I just think that our personal class has worked really well when we do group, separate into groups, really learning how to listen to one another and hear what each other's experiences have been, and just respect each other. And through that respect, we gain partners in understanding how we can make a difference.
Kelly?
Partners to me, just, they're my people. I have gained so many new relationships with people, from the presenters to each one of my classmates. They all have a story to tell, and each person is so helpful and eager to help you find balance and help you research. Some members of the class even started groups together solely to advocate for others. Partners to me is my support system, full of people that are going down the same path that I am walking down now, or they've already been there and they're willing to give advice to me or share experiences that have helped them. So I agree with Michelle. I don't know how all the other classes have gone, but I think our class is pretty...
the best.
It's the best. we check in on each other. If somebody doesn't know the answer to something, another person will jump in and they'll try to find the answer. And it's just, it is a never ending circle of support.
Brittany?
So I definitely echo with what Kelly and Michelle already said. Another thing that I think about is, you know, community and solidarity. The thing about disability is that disability does not discriminate. And so, you know, even though we all have different stories and different experiences and different backgrounds, when we hear everyone's stories, it just really made me realize, you know, just the common thread and how important it is to talk about this, and how important it is to find your community members, your partners that can help you and that can stand with you and support you, because it's very important, you know, and social justice things, you know, they don't always happen overnight. And so you really need that support because this is a long fight, you know.
Sammy?
I have to agree with what they have mentioned. And so community, for me, comes, you know, community, support, resilience, change, compassion, and determination, lots of determination, because we need that persistence in order to get change and to make change happen. And partners gave us that open space where we learn from each other, where we understood and as Brittany was saying, a disability does not discriminate. So you get to learn all the many challenges and learn from those as well, and to be able to implement those in a way that either or you bring home, you learn even from the techniques that your partners have shared. And yes, I do believe our class was the best class. And it's the best class. And it's just that it's a lot of compassion, community, support, change. We could go on and on.
So, Sammy, what do you plan to do with your community and family as a result of, you know, this experience? What will you do differently with the community and your family?
It has definitely pushed me to continue on this path. And I actually, what I have decided, I'm getting going back again to the college. And I do want to look into race, ethnicity, and all this disadvantages to keep pursuing and try to build my own degree that involves everything, also the partner taught me, to continue to do the work and advocating for our minorities. And I currently serve at a particular building where 90% of our students are students, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So the needs for the IEPs, appointments, and all of that that involves the challenges definitely is gonna help me. And I feel very empowered to continue on this path. And, you know, sometimes we question ourselves whether we chose the right career, the right path. And I can tell you that partners reassure me, especially right now with what we deal with COVID, and also what we're dealing right now in this last situation, George Floyd. It reassured me that I chose the right path and that our community needs to continue to support them, as well as my own children.
Brittany, how about you?
So one of the biggest things that I've kind of drawn from this is I really want to help other people with disabilities find their voice and find resources and how to advocate for themselves, because it's something. One of the big things that I realized is that, you know, as a society, we don't really expect much from disabled people. And when you don't have expectations for disabled people, chances are, you know, that we don't have those for ourselves. And so one of the first things I did was called my mom crying after the first class, telling her how much I loved her, because I realized that her pushing me to be as independent as I could, that her pushing me to speak up, and, you know, that those were all things that really benefited me. And, you know, speaking up and speaking out is really hard and can be scary at first. But once you realize the proper way to do it and the channels, and you have your support and your partners and your community, you start to feel powerful and you start to realize how much power we, you know, you have, and how much we can have as a community when we come together and when we share these resources. And so that's what my main focus is going to be after this class.
Ellie, how about you?
I just want to advocate for people that aren't aware that there are policies set for individuals with disabilities and help them find their voice and be the support system that so many others were to me. There's a lot of resources out there, and if you don't know that they're available, then you kind of sit idle and you do your best to parent, you know, with what resources you have, but it's all on familiar territory. So you just, it's stressful for your child. It's stressful for your family. It's stressful for the teachers. Everybody is affected. So I feel that if we can all just help one person even navigate through the system and know what's available and learn the words, and sometimes all you have to do is just be someone else's support, sit with them, let them know that you're not alone in this process, because being alone, and I always used to tell my husband, I feel like sometimes I'm just standing in a room and I'm screaming and nobody can hear me. That's how I feel about 90% of the time, is I just feel like nobody understands me. So that's my goal, is I want to help anyone I can know that they are not alone and that they have the power to change whatever it is that's affecting their life.
Michelle?
Yeah, I feel like, again, I've taken the steps in making changes for our family by thinking in a more person-centered, taking more person-centered conversations with my 9-year-old twins and helping them feel like they have more of a voice. As for my community, I feel like I've been meeting with more and more families who have children with special needs and trying to help them with the steps that they need in order to get their children services and to be more successful in their communities. I personally have made a document that has all the steps and services that are available to help people with special needs or disabilities. And this way I can come into contact with new people who have disabilities or special needs, and I can share this document. And then it also has my contact information so they can contact me if they need help and have any questions. I just think by having a Word document, it's a quick and easy thing that I can snap off to people. And it just gives them a little bit of empowerment. And yet I still know the anxiety and the overwhelming feeling each family member, parent has, even though you have all the steps. It's having the courage to take the first step is exhausting. And I think, like Kelly said, it's just having more conversations and letting people know that there's more support is huge, and is a big thing that I hope to make a difference. And I think it starts personally. I don't know exactly how it all looks or how it should be, but I think the schools and the counties are right now doing a disservice to our people with special needs by, like Sammy said, not allowing IEP meetings to happen or whatnot. And I think it needs to go even a step farther, that anyone who has an IEP needs to be given these resources to know that there are services available. And instead of that happening, we as parents are being discouraged by social workers, by teachers, for one, and most important, is they're not educated. They're not educated enough to know what services are available. And then you get to the county level and you're calling and asking for these services, and they're saying, I don't know, are you sure you want to follow through with this? You could actually lose what little services you do have if you try and have a reassessment, instead of encouraging us to get more services or to have more help. We have families who are struggling so bad that they're at a loss, and families are being destroyed because a simple thing of giving services and providing PCA and waiver services for them to have an outlet.
Ladies, try to make this a short one, because this is just a out of curiosity question, but and everyone I think goes through this, where you get really invigorated after something you've done, like a program like this. I could totally see how it would invigorate you and make it like, I'm going to go out and take over the world. But I wonder what you will reach for, or what you feel like you will use to help you pull yourself up when you get in the spot where you think, oh, I'm drained. I have no energy. I feel like, you know, when you get kind of down, or when you feel like things just are not going how you thought they should go. And what do you feel like you will grab onto, either from this program or from, and what you've learned so far, to kind of pull your ambition up again?
This is
go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's looking at the results. As I was mentioning earlier with example about my son, I feel so proud about it. It was exhausting, but at the end I was like, yes. When I got the email the next day saying, yeah, he's going to continue, and there was no pushback. And it's almost like, so you were telling me why, but because I knew how to advocate for that. I mean, he's going to have the services that I requested. And when I look at that, it's a proud moment that you pat yourself on the back and you're like, I was able to do that. And seeing that, especially on my work side with COVID, I was able to see that some of our families were actually receiving, just by email, their update IEP that they were not part of those meetings, just so they can sign them and send them back. I was able to teach some of the parents that when that happens, that's not done properly, and it's actually illegal because they've forgotten about that an IEP is a legal document, that if there's not an evaluation when the parent is present to provide the results, it's not effective because it was not done legally. And so when the parents were reaching back to me and saying, well, I got the form and there was no invitation for the IEP, or they didn't let me know what the changes were going to be. They just asked me to sign it and send it. And so knowing that I was able to teach a parent that was not the right process, and actually reaching out so I could connect with the special ed department, that's another thing that you say, yes, this is working out, because now you're passing that experience to someone else, and it's you're teaching now somebody else how to navigate the system and to be their own advocates as well, even for someone who doesn't speak the language. So a lot of times they take that as someone who doesn't speak the language doesn't know. Yes, they know, they just don't know how to communicate it. And so those, I take it from that, those strains that sometimes you might be exhausted, but you can see the path that you have built through, that it will lift you up. At least for me, it has.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Kelly Schmidt. And I agree with Sammy 100%. You know, once you see, you know, all the hard work that you go through to get, you know, just get in the door, once you're there and you see that, you know the words that you have to say, and you have mm-hmm. the people that you need in your corner, everything mm-hmm. changes. You know, it's not a push-pull anymore. It is, they are willing to work with you and they understand you, they respect you. And that is very, I don't know, it's rewarding, because then they work with you. And I've actually had the school ask me questions about how to help other people. So it just kind of changes the whole dynamic between you not being a challenge with the school, but somebody that can help educate them, because a lot of schools want to be educated, at least down south here they do. They just don't have the resources like we have as parents. That's what we do. We resource all day long trying to find, you know, answers. So sometimes it is helpful to them. So I guess that's where I get my strength.
Anybody else want to add to that?
Yeah, this is Brittany. You know, history, I guess, is one place that I've drawn a lot of strength. It's really important to know our history so that we know, like, we never want to go back there. And so reading biographies of different activists and their time and what they did and their strength really helps me. And then also, I think when you take a class like Partners, you're going to leave fired up. There, you know, make no mistake about it. You're going to leave feeling so empowered and just so fired up. And so one thing that's really important is to remember that this is a marathon, and that sometimes things are going to take a long time, and sometimes, boom, like you've been hearing, you know, you'll get that email that gives you, you know, all the things you were really needing and advocating for. And so something that is another thing that's important is self-care, is to rest. You know, we got to fight a long battle.
Let's see. Michelle, did we hear from you? Did you have anything to add? Was that? Okay. I'm just going to go on then. So I know this was an unusual class for you guys, because I think you guys met in February. I know this is your last week. And the unusual part, and certainly for Sherry too, is, you know, this is for the, because of the COVID virus, the class has not gotten to meet so much in person. And so I know this is your last week, and I wonder, how did the shutdown and the pandemic precautions affect you and your family during this time? Kelly, did you want to comment on it?
Yeah, it's been bumpy. You know, at the beginning of all of this, we started seeing some really big gains with our daughter, and we had all the supports in place. She was in different kinds of therapies that were helping her maneuver and find her own self. And then everything just changed. And a lot of these little, you know, children, they need structure, they need routine. And
right. As soon
as we get that structure and routine all in place, and they, you know, meet their teachers, and this is a person that's gonna guide them through the year, and everything's planned and laid out for them. And then it stopped in a day. So in our situation, you know, our daughter kind of went through like a separation anxiety, or like she didn't understand why the teacher left her. It wasn't that she left, it's that she couldn't go to school anymore. But we really struggled with school is school, home is home. I'm not a teacher. So we didn't get much educating done here. And I am very thankful for the school system that we are in. They are very open to, when I requested IEP meetings, they were right on it. I had several IEP meetings, sometimes twice a week, to try to help me get through the system and how I could possibly help her. So I don't know, that was helpful. But as far as learning and the changes, that was just really challenging for us. It still is.
Somebody else want to go next? Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. This is Sammy. It was definitely, definitely challenging. And so trying to operate two different systems, one being a teacher, second trying to still manage work from home and phone calls, meetings, and, you know, your child is right over here, you're trying to help them up with homework. The other challenging part too is that my son was actually being taught regular ed class without his IEP plan. And then I had to call them out and figure that out. And all this, once again, all these challenges. And it was hectic. And it's just like what Kelly was saying. It was difficult that just from one day to the next, it just changed. My son, I remember, he asked, when was the last time we deal with something like this? And I'm like, honey, never. There was no experience of how to deal with these challenges. And so they could see that too. And like, you know, for a child, routine is super important. So from one day to the next, there is no routine. There's none of that. And then not just that, but you're isolated because you can't even go certain places to kind of like de-stress and get also that emotional and social support that we all need. And then our children who have those disabilities is affecting more. In my case, I also have a 12th grader who graduated, and emotions, I had two different emotional things going on with them. My son for his age and his disability, and my daughter because of the many traditional celebrations that were not happening. So all of that and trying also to work and manage home. My husband also, from the personal perspective, my husband had to close his restaurant. And so it was a lot. It was stressful. And there were some days that I wouldn't stop probably until 8 p.m. or so. And that's where what Brittany was saying, the self-care, it's so important.
Okay.
A little bit of wine was helping. So
who else wants to go next?
I think for myself, for our family, this whole time, probably the hardest was not having PCAs come into our home and helping with all the shutdowns, and having two older kids in high school and having to help them and encourage them to get their distance learning done. I'm Michelle. Sorry.
It's okay.
One of the positive things was I pulled my kids actually in November to homeschool them. So at least I didn't have that challenge like Kelly of having that anxiety and change. So I feel like that was a blessing in disguise for ourselves. But the isolation and not having my husband never stopped working. So being home with all four kids, basically feeling like summer is never ending. And
yes, I can relate.
And not having the extra help was a huge struggle. And then also just, I mean, as much as Zoom has been great, it's also not ideal when you have kids with special needs.
Anybody else want to final chime in? We're going to have to go to a break in just a minute, but.
Yeah, this is Brittany. I'd like to say something. On the whole, I have to say that I have been blessed because I was able to transfer from working into an office into my home space. And so, you know, I'm safe and that is great. One thing that I feel this COVID pandemic has really kind of blown a hole into is the need for PCA support. I only have one PCA right now. So a lot of my stress is, what if I get sick or what if my PCA gets sick? And I know a lot of other people are in that same position. And so I've been working with the SEIU union to try to get the PCA, the COVID-19 PCA bill passed, which would give PCAs a 15% wage increase and access to PPE, because they have been virtually left out of this conversation. And it is very, very needed.
I want to ask you guys, unfortunately, we got to limit it to about a minute, but a piece. You each get 1 minute. Why would you recommend, you know, doing a class like this?
It's a great opportunity to advance the level of learning that we can get in order to better support our children with disabilities, and also our adults as well, because there's a lot of other barriers that actually go once. A lot of the services are available for children once they turn 21, but what about after they turn 21? And I know Brittany, what she has shared her experiences, and I think there's time to change. So joining partners will open up those paths. Also, the more information that we have and the more people they are available to support, I think we are facing a positive change.
Brittany, how about you? Why would you recommend taking this class?
You know, I can't say anything bad about partners at all. I mean, everything has been a great experience. I say do it for yourself, do it for your community, do it because you have a voice and you might not be able to know how to use it, but you want to find those tools. Do it for the community. And, you know, do it to make change, because you can make change, I promise you.
Kelly?
Partners changed my life. A year ago, I didn't know what our future looked like, and I had no idea what was going on. And because of the outlets that I was given and the people I've met, the stories I've heard, the friendships I've gained, I am 100% dedicated to helping make a change and push inclusion in every aspect of my life. I think it's a great opportunity, and you absolutely will not regret it.
Michelle?
Yeah, kudos to everything everyone said. I think it's just hugely important to advocate. You know, one fact is we need to advocate for ourselves, for each other, and to make a difference, and to look at disabilities in a new lens with the person-centered thinking.
I think I got everyone. Sherry, I just want to make sure that you get to give the info about how somebody can apply for Partners in Policymaking and how that works.
The easiest thing to remember is that if you Google Partners in Policymaking Minnesota, and it's exactly Partners in Policymaking Minnesota, you're going to come to a page where it talks about the partners class. But the one thing you want to go to is class 38, or the upcoming class. There you're going to see the dates of the class, the cost, which is nothing. And maybe I should say that again, this cost is nothing. And it also is the application online. We make it as easy as possible. We know that this is a huge commitment. We want people to commit to every single session. So there are 8 of them. You go on a Friday, you finish on a Saturday. And if you're coming from out of town like Kelly was, you stay overnight in the hotel. All the expenses are paid. But the the important thing is you get people to advocate for themselves or for their children. They are not advocating for, they're not taught to advocate for somebody else and be a professional advocate, but they end up being so good at advocating for themselves and their children that they end up, they do care about advocating for other people as well, as you've heard from these people. It changes lives. Year after year, I hear that phrase, it changed my life. It saved my marriage. It kept me sane. And one woman who said, I now have a voice. And basically it tells you the words to say, and it gives you a big cheerleading section of, you can do it. And we believe in you. And that you realize you have many partners in the class, but also you learn to make partners because you convince people that you're right, that that people with disabilities do deserve the best.
I feel really horrible for doing this, but I want each one of you to, if you can, I know I hate limiting people, but give me 5 words in the change or law or policy you'd like to see either changed or introduce the change. Sammy, we'll start with you.
There is one that I'm supporting, and it's the one from Justice Alan Page, and he is supporting a change in regards to making educational quality education for all within the state.
Kelly?
I would like the process to getting services more just easier for parents to get services started.
Michelle?
Same with Kelly. I think services need to be, it needs to be easier process for families to get services.
And, you know, one of the changes in law that I would really like to see more in the immediate future, again, is the COVID-19 PCA bill to be passed. Also, I would love to see some changes in healthcare premiums for and work care work incentives for people with disabilities.
Ladies, you guys are awesome. Go out and rock the world. And thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate this. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KFEI or its board of directors, but they are everyone's here. And if you want to be part of the emailer, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. This is KFEI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, 106.7 FM St. Paul. Disability and Progress. Matt Finkel is my engineer for this episode. Charlene Dahl is my research assistant.